Welcome to the Resilient Mind Podcast. In this episode, you will be listening to Dealing with Trauma with Dr. Joe Dispenza. Get access to the Resilient Mind Journal by clicking the link in the show notes. Enjoy.
I think there are many modalities that work for trauma. What I've discovered is that insight never really changes behavior. You can see that your father was overbearing or was an alcoholic, or you could see all these different things, you know, like you could come up with the insight of all these different things. The problem that I see with people is then they tend to excuse their change by saying, oh, I had a rough childhood, that's why I am the way I am. They're excusing their present position. So, and again, trauma is a difficult thing, but for me, the person who's living by the identity in their life that they were traumatized as a child or whatever it is, or they've had a trauma in their life, I'm not saying forget the trauma and create another emotion. I'm saying that the person who's willing to go through the emotion and keep working on lowering the volume to it, we have had so many people in this work with brutal pasts, really, really difficult pasts, do the work. And finally, they reach that point where they just break free from the emotion. They look back, and I have interviewed enough of them. It's the same thing. They look back at their entire past, and they don't want to change one thing in their past because it brought them to this elegant moment where they're liberated. They see their betrayers. They see their abusers. They have nothing but love for them. Now, the side effect of that, and many times they'll say, it was like my heart blew wide open. They had to pass through the valley of the shadow of darkness to get there. And they just thought, I don't know if I can go any further. And they went one more time. And the body literally was liberated from the past, right? Because the trauma is not just in the brain. The trauma is stored emotionally in the body. So you want to take the body out of the past, out of the known. What do you think the body's going to say if it's been conditioned to be the mind? The unknown is a scary place. You step out into the unknown, you're going to be unprepared for that trauma. You don't know how it's going to happen. And so the person keeps clinging to the known. But when the person finally overcomes the emotion, the body literally is freed from the chains of the past.
If we have experienced suffering and within our minds and bodies, we hold that suffering and express it through our thoughts and feelings, we broadcast that energetic signature into the field. The universal intelligence responds by sending into our lives another event that will reproduce the same intellectual an emotional response. Our thoughts send the signal out, I am suffering. And our emotions, I am suffering, draw into our lives an event to match that emotional frequency. That is a good reason to suffer. In a very real sense, we are asking for proof of the existence of universal intelligence at all times. And it sends us feedback in our external environment at all times. That is how powerful we are. Why don't we send out a signal that will produce a positive outcome for us? How can we change so that the signal we send out matches what we intend to produce in our lives? We will change when we fully commit to the belief that by choosing the thought signal we send out, we will produce an effect that is observable and unexpected. With this objective intelligence, we are not punished for our sins, that is, our thoughts, feelings, and actions, but by them. When we project into the field a signal based on the thoughts and feelings, such as suffering, produced by some undesirable experience in our past, is it any wonder that the field responds in the same negative way? How many times have you uttered these words, or very similar ones? I can't believe it. Why does this always happen to me? Based on your new understanding of the nature of reality, do you now see that those statements reflect your acceptance of the Newtonian Cartesian model in which you are a victim of cause and effect? Do you see that you are fully capable of causing an effect yourself? Do you see that instead of responding in the manner above, you could be asking yourself, how can I think, feel, and behave differently to produce the effect result that I want? Our mission, then, is to willfully move into the state of consciousness that allows us to connect to universal intelligence, make direct contact with the field of possibilities, and send out a clear signal that we truly expect to change and to see the results that we want in the form of feedback produced in our lives. When you do create purposefully, request a sign from the quantum consciousness that you have made contact with it. Dare to ask for synchronicities related to your specific desired outcomes. When you do, you are being bold enough to want to know that this consciousness is real and that it is aware of your efforts. Once you accept this, then you can create in a state of joy and inspiration. This principle asks us to lay down what we think we know, surrender to the unknown, then observe the effects in the form of feedback in our lives. And that is the best way we learn. When we get positive indications, when we see our external circumstances shift in a favorable direction, we know that whatever we did inside of us was right. Naturally, we'll remember what we did so we can do it again. So when feedback begins to occur in your life, you can choose to be like a scientist in a process of discovery. Why not monitor any changes to see that the universe is favorable to your efforts and prove to yourself that you are that powerful? So how can we connect with that state of consciousness?
And when people finally break free from those chains of the emotions that they live by on a daily basis, when they break free of their habituations, even in the way they speak, when they overcome their hardwired beliefs that they've thought over and over again until they accepted them without any analysis, when they overcome that programming to a certain degree, that wholeness that they feel is the healing in and of itself. They're not waiting for their healing or their health to change so they could feel gratitude, so they could feel whole. They actually understand that when they feel gratitude and they feel wholeness, that's when their healing begins. So then anything that causes us to move out of that state within us, a reaction or response from someone or something in our life that would move us from that state of grace, I promise you, if you're truly in the river of change and you wanted to heal, you would think about how you would respond differently to that person or circumstance the next time, so you wouldn't lose that feeling, because you would actually no longer be signaling the same genes in the same way. The moment you felt familiar emotions, you would be signaling old genes. And so the person who understands the what in what they're doing, and the why, that if I live by this emotional state every single day, if the environment signals the gene, okay, and the end product of an experience in the environment is an emotion, if I live by this emotion, I could signal genes ahead of my environment, and I could actually change my health. Now, this is when meditation no longer becomes a have to. This is now when meditation becomes very practical, because the person is going to rehearse in their mind how they are going to think in their day, what they are going to believe. And they're going to repeat it enough times. And a belief is just a thought you keep thinking over and over again until it becomes hardwired in your brain. They're going to review that belief and they're going to keep firing and wiring it. They're going to change the way they respond to their coworker, to their spouse, to their boss, to the news. They're going to change their response and they're going to rehearse it in their mind. The mental rehearsal, as you know, changes the brain to look like it's already happened. They're going to say, I got to feel this feeling. If it takes me 100 times today to feel this feeling, I'm going to bring it up 100 times over and over again, so I get so good at feeling it, I can bring it up whenever I want and stop from default, right? I think when people do that the overcoming process is the becoming process. That so many people have healed in this work, and they didn't even realize that when they were sitting and their body was raging and out of balance, and they were working with settling it down and overcoming those survival emotions, overcoming those programs, those habituations, that overcoming process was actually the becoming process. So many people, when they actually got to the point where they were so happy with themselves, so in love with themselves, so in love with life, so grateful for being alive, they could care less if they had their health condition. They no longer identified with it any longer. That was the moment it went away. And you ask that person, where is the disease? They'll tell you it's in the old person. They healed themselves by changing themselves. They're happy with themselves now. They don't want to be anybody else.
The quantum model demands that our understanding of reality not be based on our senses. Quantum physics is nonsense. In the process of creating future reality via the quantum model, our senses should be the last to experience what the mind has created. The very last thing we experience is sensory feedback. Why? The quantum is a multi-dimensional reality that exists beyond your senses in a realm where there is no body, no thing, no time. Thus, to move into that domain and create from that paradigm, you'll need to forget about your body for a little while. You'll also have to temporarily shift your awareness away from your external environment. All those things that you identify with in your life, your spouse, your kids, your possessions, and your problems are all part of your identity. Through them, you identify with the outer world. And finally, you'll have to lose track of linear time. That is, in the moment when you are intentionally observing a potential future experience, you will have to be so present that your mind no longer vacillates between memories of the past and expectations of a same-as-usual future. Isn't it ironic that to influence your reality environment, heal your body, or change some event in your future time, you have to completely let go of your external world? Nothing. You have to release your awareness of your body, no body. You have to lose track of time, no time. In effect, you have to become pure consciousness. Do that, and you have dominion over the environment, your body, and time. I affectionately call these the big three. And since the subatomic world of the field is made purely of consciousness, you cannot enter any other way than via pure consciousness yourself. You cannot walk through the door into the quantum field as a somebody. You must enter as a nobody. Your brain has the innate ability to harness this skill. When you understand that you are fully equipped to do all this, leave this world behind and enter a new reality beyond space and time. You will be naturally inspired to apply it in your life. What does it mean to be beyond space and time? These are constructs that humans created to explain physical phenomena involving location and our sense of the temporal. When we talk about a glass sitting on a table, we reference it in terms of location, where it is in space, and how long it has occupied that location. As humans, we're obsessed with these two conceptions: where we are, how long we've been there, how long we will remain, where we'll go next. Even though time is not something that we can actually sense, we feel it passing in much the same way that we sense our location in space. We feel the seconds, minutes, and hours passing by, just as we feel our bodies pressed against our chairs and our feet planted on the ground. In the quantum field, the infinite probabilities for materializing reality are beyond time and space, because a potential doesn't yet exist. If it doesn't exist, it doesn't have a location or occupy a position temporally. Anything that doesn't have material existence, that hasn't had its waves of probability collapsed into particle reality, exists beyond space and time. Since the quantum field is nothing but immaterial probability, it is outside of space and time. As soon as we observe one of those infinite probabilities and give it material reality, it acquires those two characteristics. Great. We have the power to make material a reality of our own choosing by selecting it from the quantum field. But we have to somehow access that field. We're always connected to it. But how do we get the field to respond to us if we're constantly emitting energy and therefore sending information to the field and receiving information from it? How do we communicate more effectively with it? For now, what you need to know is that to enter the field, which exists beyond space and time, you have to enter a similar state. Do you ever have any experiences when time and space seem to disappear? Think of those moments when you're driving and your thoughts are focused on some concern you have. when that happens, you forget about your body. You are no longer aware of how you feel in space. You forget about the environment. The external world disappears, and you forget about time. You have no idea how long you are tranced out. At moments like these, you've been at the threshold of the door that allows you to enter the quantum field and gain access to working with universal intelligence. In essence, you've already made thought more real than anything else. I've led you from the notion that mind and matter are fully separable to the quantum model, which states that they are inseparable. Mind is matter and matter is mind. So all those times in the past when you tried to change, maybe your thinking was fundamentally limited. You likely believed that it was always circumstances outside of you that needed to change. If I didn't have so many other commitments, I could lose the excess weight and then I'd be happy. We've all stated some variation on that theme. If this, then that. Cause and effect. What if you could change your mind, your thoughts, your feelings, and your way of being outside the bounds of time and space? What if you could change ahead of time and see the effects of those internal changes in your external world? You can. What has profoundly and positively changed my life and the lives of so many others is the understanding that changing one's mind and thereby having new experiences and gaining new insights is simply a matter of breaking the habit of being oneself. When you overcome your senses, when you understand that you are not bound by the chains of your past, when you live a life that is greater than your body, your environment, and time, all things are possible. The universal intelligence that animates the existence of all things will both surprise and delight you. It wants nothing more than to provide you with access to all you want. In short, when you change your mind, you change your life.
Thank you for tuning in. Continue strengthening your mind by listening to our other episodes.